time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
What a segment! The professor, John Anderson, and Jason Wilde, and they both have to answer a question before they get started. Pebble, read it. Pebble, just put it up.
All right, Discount Liquor Twitter poll question for today at the Homer Hour at ESPN Milwaukee. Do you give Packers GM Brad Gutekunst credit for making a good selection in drafting Jaire Alexander? Yes or no?
Take it away, Professor.
Yeah, I think anytime you draft a guy who can be an all-pro or a Pro Bowler a couple times, yeah, I think that counts, that eventually that thing somehow happened where he just decided that he wasn't going to play much anymore. Again, as to exactly how hard that is, I don't know. But yeah, I don't blame him. I thought that was a nice pick. That's okay. I'm not against that.
All right, Jason.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. The guy's a two-time second-team All-Pro. He was one of the best at his position for multiple years. I would argue he was never the same player, though he did regain the shoulder injury tackling Najee Harris. He was, despite being a diminutive guy who would have not met the criteria that Ron Wolf used to have for corners, he was a willing, able, and physical tackler. And then after that, during the 21 season, when he jacked up his shoulder on that tackle and missed the rest of the regular season, and I think that was in like week four that happened, or week six, he was just never the same player. So, yeah, that's part of it. But still, he was an elite-level corner. The part that, like, we all know he was disenfranchised or whatever you want to call it in 2023. He didn't like Joe Barry. He skipped the offseason program. He didn't like the scheme. And then he came back in 2024 with a new scheme, a new coordinator, a new strength and conditioning staff, and he was like a new man. Remember he had that pick six in Tennessee in week three? And you were like, the old Jaire is back. I know I thought so. I know Domofsky thought so. I know Matt LaFleur thought so. And then, you know, he injures the knee in Jacksonville. I thought Rob's wording in his story was very interesting because I had been using it as well, because the only person who ever actually said publicly that he had a PCL tear was Jaire Alexander himself. And I always wondered if there were people inside the building who were questioning whether or not he could have been playing, should have been playing, et cetera. And Rob obviously reported that there were multiple people inside the building that privately questioned why he wasn't playing and the seriousness of the injury, which we all kind of knew, but Rob wrote it. So I think the way it ends, which it is, in my opinion, definitely ending, certainly tarnishes it. But the guy was a pretty damn good football player when he played football. The problem is, over the last two seasons, he played in 14 games in the regular season, and he missed 20. And that is not a good percentage.
All right, 7-2.5, takeover.
So what happens to him next? Right, like even if they let go, give me the sort of the whole timeline, right? Because if they release him before the new calendar, the new NFL year, or after makes caps hits, I feel like his cap hit's going to be fairly easy to absorb compared to other ones.
Yeah, they're actually going to save on balance $6 million in cap space if they cut him, because he will count like $17 million and change in dead cap money, but he was supposed to make like almost $24 million. So they actually save cap room by moving on from him. So that's not a bad thing, right? On top of that, you know, I don't think, given where they're at in terms of their salary cap position, remembering that they spent the 2023 season absorbing every penny of Aaron Rodgers' dead $41 million in cap charges. They're in great cap shape. Like, they, if they want Myles Garrett, if they want Max Crosby, if they want Tee Higgins, if they want Devontae Adams, from a cap perspective, there's no reason why they can't have any of those guys. That's not an issue. So I wouldn't think that Goody and Russ Ball would feel the need, proud Missouri alum Russ Ball, would feel any need to kick the can down the road on some of those cap charges for, unless they've got really big plans for free agency, in which case maybe they do decide to kick the can down the road. And if they do, if they release him and then make him a June 1 cut, post-June 1 designation, then they got something cooking. Because there's no real reason from a cap space perspective to really do that. So I'm, that will be an interesting little tell that we may or may not get once we get to that point.
So then where does that put that position at the on the draft board? If you figure Stokes hasn't been the same guy, Alexander's gone, where does that position quarterback go on my priority list now when I'm in the off-season discussions of free agents and acquisitions and drafts and those kind of things?
Like any great journalist and any great professor, you can tell your students, sometimes you ask questions you know the answer to, and you know what the answer is. It puts it high on that list. There's no denying that. And so, well, but that, I mean, to me, that, look, first of all, I suppose there's the outside chance that Eric Stokes doesn't have a market and they bring him back on a prove it 1 year deal for depth purposes. But look, I think they feel good about a starting five in the back end in the nickel of Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at the outside corners, and Javon Bullard as their nickel. I think they like that fivesome. The problem is, as you well know, pretty damn hard to stay healthy all season. And then who are the next guys? Do they bring back Corey Ballantyne or Robert Rochelle, Rochelle the Musical? They have, you know, a guy that I think they like from a corner perspective in the seventh round pick, and now, of course, I'm blanking on his name, from Penn State, Kalen King, that they drafted last year and redshirted on the practice squad. I think they like him and his potential, so maybe he's, you know, kind of another option at that position. But there's no doubt that that and defensive line and wide receiver, in my opinion, given Watson's situation, given Dobbs's situation, and given the lack of elevation in year two that they got from Reed and Wicks, to me anyway, those, much like Josh Jacobs said, are on the priority list, both in free agency and in the draft. And then in the draft, the other thing, they have got to upgrade their depth on the offensive line. Like, if it could not have been more obvious, in a season where they were so fortunate injury-wise on the offensive line, yeah, they lost Jordan Morgan to that shoulder injury that started in training camp and kept cropping up. But their tackles played the whole season. Their center missed one game, even though he tore his pec against the 49ers. He kept playing the rest of the year, which says something about a guy that's headed into free agency and probably isn't going to be back. And then Elgton Jenkins getting hurt against Philly, like, that's what lost them the game, right? Even more so than the four turnovers, because they couldn't protect Jordan Love to save their lives with Telly Monster, Kadeem Telford, and Travis Glover. So, though, to me, this is a team that somehow simultaneously is not that far away and yet has some pretty glaring needs. And when they move on from Jair Alexander, that is a glaring need. And look, that's not me talking either. Like, you know, the fact that Josh Jacobs is saying that corner is a need, the fact that Keyshawn Nixon is proclaiming, I'm not going to return kicks anymore because CB1s don't return kicks. Well, if they were keeping Jair Alexander, I don't think Keyshawn Nixon would be saying of his friend, you know, I'm the new CB1 if Jair's going to be on the team. So I think it's kind of everyone is resigned to this, and it's just a matter of when, not if.
So I've already figured out as sort of a Homer pet peeve is that the Packers lack of kind of off-season movement. But if you give, you could make the argument that Goody is better in rounds 3 through 7 than he is in rounds 1 and 2. In that case, like, why don't they try something bold? Be like the Rams. What did the Rams go? 6 years without a number one pick? Move some of that stuff.
Help
you seem to do
pick.
Fine in the... You do fine in the rounds 3 through 7. You can find a bunch of what you need. Take some of those big ones and be splashing.
First of all, he's not fine in round 3. Sean Ryan turned out to be better than we thought he was. We'll see what Tyron Hopper ends up being. But round 3 remains a problematic round for him.
Okay.
He seems to be great in 4 and 5 and pretty good in 2, right? I mean, Javon Bullard is good. It looks like obviously Edgerrin Cooper is very good. I still think Watson is
a
good player.
Let's get some 1 and 3s.
Yeah, just trade the ones. Yeah, trade the 1s and 3s. Get a bunch of second rounders or get players. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Now again, you know, look, all it takes is getting one right, right? Like, you know, he has. You know, do I think Quay Walker? There's reason to still think Quay Walker could be a good player. I do. Devontae Wyatt, like, I have reservations about him. I think he's flashed. I think there's been moments where you felt good about him. But overall, yeah, I mean, you know, Goody's had some really, really good drafts. And the 2022 draft, which is all, you know, coming to maturation now, is the one that they got to figure out what they're going to do. Both their tackles are... Day 3, 2022 draft picks, right? Zach Tom was a 4th. Rashid Walker was a 7th. Can you be better than those guys? I don't think you can be better than Tom. I think he's really good, and I think the reason he wasn't that great this year was because he played with a torn pec and was never the same after he had that injury in the spring. But I don't know. How confident are you in Rashid Walker as a long-term left tackle for this team? You have to figure out what you're doing with Watson, who's in a contract year and is going to miss half of it. You have to figure out how confident you are that Romeo Doubs, A, is okay with his concussions, and B, isn't going to flake out like he did when he was unhappy with his role earlier in the year. And then you have to figure out what are your 2 first-round picks from that draft going to turn into, because they sure are talking like both of them are going to get their fifth-year options. So if that's the case, I just rattled off 6 guys from that class, all of whom are starters or quasi-starters, that you have decisions to make on and have uncertain futures.
All right, Jason, so I got to interrupt because they keep telling me we're late, and I have a question for both of you. I don't give any credibility.
You are late.
Yeah, first time. I don't give any credibility to Aaron Rodgers going to the Vikings. You can both address that. I am certain what's going to happen. 100%, a team in this year's draft that takes a quarterback in the first round, early first round, will not want to play that quarterback this upcoming season. They will bring in Aaron Rodgers to play for a year and then go with that young quarterback the following year. 100% certain. So you can either address my club or the thought of the Vikings. Jason?
Yeah, I never understand why you have to go 100%. I like that theory. I like it a lot. I don't like it at 100%, but that's you, and you got to do you. I really want – if Aaron Rodgers called me right now and said, hey, once again, the Homer Hour is running late. I'm going to beep in, so
you
have
to hang
up with
him to talk to me. You want him to go to the Vikings? I know that. Come on. It's a great story.
Well, no, no, No. It is, and I definitely do want that from a writer's perspective. But if he called me and said, Jason, and I've gotten a lot of bad advice over the years, you've always been good to me, what do you think I should do? I would say, I think you need to humble yourself and say, I'm not going to put demands on the coach and the GM. I'm not going to be as rigid with my, this is what you have to do to play with me at quarterback. I'm going to be the fun Uncle Aaron if I go to a team with young guys, like I was during that training camp on Hard Knocks before I ruptured my Achilles. I am so pissed that my final year with the Jets was such a blanking train wreck that I'm going to get back to being the guy that saved the letter from that jackass from Purdue who told me, good luck with your attempt at a college football career. I'm going to be that same guy that arrived in Green Bay pissed off that I was fell in the draft and had to sit in the damn green room at the Jacob Javits Convention Center for hours on end and then sit behind Favre, who was mean to me for 3 years. I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to show this whole blanking league that I am not washed. And whoever gets me, they're going to get the perfect teammate and the perfect leader, and I'm going to play. I'm not going to be as mobile as I used to be, but I showed I could still sling it as bad as the Jets were, and I'm going to go back and play the way I know I can. And that's the advice I would give him. I don't think he's interested in my advice, but I think if he does that, I still think he's got plenty left to be able to do that stuff.
Thanks, Jason.
And wherever he does it, I want to see it.
Yeah, by the way, we'll get 7-2.5 after the break because I want to tell you now, you know what I want Aaron Rodgers to do more than anything else? Call you. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
American Place Casino. That's right. A half hour south of Franklin and 38 minutes if you want to be precise. And yes, I need to say it more often because I don't have people complaining just yet. American Place Casino. Half hour south of Franklin, exactly 38 minutes. Yes, located in Lake County, Illinois. Great table games, great slot machines, got the sports book, great food. Get to all the information, AmericanPlaceCasino.com. They had a great party a couple of days ago, but I'm the expert on one thing. Just a half hour south of Franklin, 38 minutes if you're a pain, located in Lake County, Illinois. 7-2.5, what's he going to say about Aaron Rodgers? Next.